Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Dekar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
I am feeling so blissed out lately.
You've been in Australia for a while, right?
I'm very serene. Yeah, I've been on this Nine Perfect Strangers retreat, and it's been going really well. I'm like clearing out an apartment right now. My life is miserable, but... But you are on the mend. That's exciting for the people.
I'm feeling good. You know, I no longer have COVID-19. And by the way, thanks so much to everybody who reached out after I said that I had it on the podcast. I didn't get one fucking message. Not one listener of this goddamn show reached out. Not even like, hey, fuck you. You got COVID. You're a piece of shit. I didn't get anything.
Did you want that?
But at least it would have been something. Yeah, it's I got nothing. Now I thought for sure people would be like worried about me or something. Frankly, getting COVID was a cry for attention.
Wow.
I just wanted somebody to care. But no one did. But I am good now. And we're back. We're back in business. We're doing the crate challenge. That's most of what mm-hmm. I've been doing is running up and down piles of crates and just winning cash. Just cold hard cash.
Is there cash in the crate challenge?
Have you not seen this? The videos of the crate challenge, a lot of them, if they finish it, they get handed like a stack of cash. I watched one where somebody got $5,000. And so that's
kind
of, I actually lost money when I did it.
let's get our guests in the mix here. Why not, Tommy? Hey, how about I introduce one, you introduce the other? First, that'll be fun. That way we're both involved. We have Sam Taggart on the show today, everybody.
Of course, we also... How should I have waited?
Look, I don't know how you run your podcast. That's not my position.
First of all, people aren't going to know what Sam sounds like unless he talks after his intro.
Yeah, hold on. Hi, listeners. Register this voice as Sam. If you hear this voice, that is Sam.
Well, I'm already taking notes on what not to do when Sam and I come back after a hiatus.
Well, that was the voice of George Severus, Gawker's own. Very exciting.
Oh, yes. Hello. I do want to off the bat address the fact that I'm wearing a beanie. It is because I am overdue for a haircut and need to be in public later. And if I literally don't like push my hair down, it's not going to look good now. It's going to look like I have hat hair, but it will look even worse if I don't do this. And you caught me right post shower when I have to humiliatingly do this until I get a haircut.
You addressed it because, frankly, I have been. I as soon as I saw you looking like this, I dragged your part of the screen off.
Well, I could sense the energy shift.
Well, I just kind of questioned, like, you know, we're collaborators, and I was sort of like, can I still trust his judgment? Like, what's happened this summer? It sort of made me feel a little bit left. A little lost, a little
confused. Yeah, well, I didn't want you to think that I suddenly am like a beanie guy after 2 months of not doing the podcast.
I didn't realize you guys were on a hiatus on First Radio Lab.
Yeah, well, if you listened, you would probably have realized.
I, of course, knew.
Yeah.
We're very famous.
Well, Tom
break.
Has been emailing us listener questions saying, hey, when are you coming back?
Like, yes, every week, every day. I can't live without you.
Yeah, we've been on a hiatus all summer, so it's it's great to be doing another podcast to promote our hiatus.
Yes. Yeah. And podcasts are the worst during the summer. It's all sweaty. No one likes it. It's like live stand-up. No one wants to do it.
They jump the shark a lot. We have to do giant, just huge leaps in logic for our show. Like,
sure,
like, for example, today, we're just talking about one fucking album. It's the one that just came out. What the fuck is that? That's not our show.
No, this is exciting. So I myself was one of the detractors of this album we're going to talk about, which is Lord Solar Power. I tweeted something about it, and then I see a lot of people are kind of shitting on it, and two lone stars in the night were shining brightly for this new album. And that, and they happen to co-host a very popular podcast that That's I listen to religiously. And it was these two gentlemen. So I wanted to bring them on and kind of hear them defend it, hear them kind of speak and say, what the fuck are you thinking liking this album?
I guess, okay, wait, you still don't like it?
Okay, so actually I have softened my take.
And in fact, and here's a real twist, I now don't really like it.
Oh, it's all flip-flop. Oh, I think we got to trade co-hosts now.
I do want to, yes, I mean, I do want to say, you know, like in terms of where I fit into the discourse, I think what you're referencing, Tommy, is that I tweeted the stick up their ass community is furious about the new Lord album.
Yes.
That does not mean I think it's brilliant. It just means I was seeing a lot of kind of hand wringing and moralizing. And in my mind, I said, let the girl have fun.
Thank you. George, first I want to say pretty cool of you to play both sides.
Yeah. Not my thing.
No, Tommy, I think you're dead wrong. George, I think you're dead wrong. Tom, I don't know where you stand, but
I'm coming in here as a neutral party. I will say I got fucked up because Tommy's tweet was the first thing I saw about it, where he expressed his disdain and disgust.
My tweet was not
for what this young woman has put in.
Yeah, well, I think it was Lord and all women in music are bad.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the tone.
With his power, and it is a great power that he wields, and he took her down. And
well, yeah. Every Jack Antonoff record, I'm like, hey, buddy, why aren't you singing more? We all want bleachers we want new bleachers every month. That's what the people want.
Now that's a take. We want new bleachers.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think bleacher seats should be more expensive.
Oh my God.
I mean, so I do occasionally, I would say once a year, I listen to the song Don't Take the Money by Bleachers.
I don't know that one.
I don't know it.
Well, it's a hit.
And I consider myself a completist, so it's pretty weird.
Okay, because it is the only one I know, and I think it's because it's like the one single.
Well,
the audacity of three people saying, I have never heard of it, and you respond, well, it's a hit. Well, every single person on the planet does know it, so yes, you guys are fucking idiots.
You know what I did realize today? I don't know if this is interesting. As Tommy said, I now work at the newly relaunched Gawker, and I'm the only male editor and all the writers are women. And so I said in my mind, I'm the Jack Antonoff of Gawker.
I have a question for you, because we simply cannot get into this because we can't deal with the type of hate we would get. But I saw an article from Gawker today about Ted Lasso that I believe was from a man, but is that like a
we truly cannot get into it, but there are male freelancers but no like staffers.
Okay
Yeah, and I did not edit that piece, so if you disagree with it, you can take it up with my female coworker Brandy.
Take her down.
That was the piece about how beanies are back, and
yeah, that one's all me.
Well, so the reason I especially want to have you guys do Sam, I feel like we've talked about before, Melodrama, which I think is one of my favorite albums ever. I thought it was like one of the best albums of the whole decade of the 2010s.
Yeah, I agree. I love.
Yeah, so I feel like, and this is such a different album than that, but you know, but and it's so much less fun, it's less anthemic, it's less, I don't know, it's less exciting. So I'm just wondering how you can kind of hold both those thoughts at the same time, that you could like both, you know?
Yeah, how do you sleep at night?
Because it's called being an artist. Whoa. You I mean, I don't know how else to, like, okay, maybe I trust the vision. I trust the judgment. I have, when I like someone, an artist, I really cling to sort of the highs and the lows. I don't know if you know this. I'm a Lady Gaga fan, and the work that takes to sort of accept each and every era, no matter how big or small or good or bad it is actually very difficult. But it's the commitment that I give because I believe in the vision and I believe in the lows as much as the highs. And I think like something like Solar Power to me is a purposeful like rejection of the bigness of like melodrama, and it's purposefully being like, I'm gonna do me. And it's like sort of saying like, maybe it's a little rough, maybe it's a little rougher around the edges, maybe it's not like so like perfect, but it's like that's almost better. I like seeing the gears a little. I like the like trying stuff out, you know, because I trust her. I trust the vision.
So you think she should team up with Tony Bennett as well?
Yeah, bring him back.
Bring back Tony. Tony and Lord would be so nonsensical. Yeah, but Tony is about to be the new Jack Antonoff.
Yeah.
I think that was part of the reason I was disappointed, is just because Jack's done this. And Lord's like come out and said, like, this is not a Jack Antonoff album. He like helped, but he deferred to my vision. Like, no one should be criticizing him for the sound. But it's hard not to see with what just happened with the new Claro album, which I was also really disappointed by. I think it has like one banger on it. And then I really liked Folklore, but I kind of hated Evermore. And it feels like the last like three things in the Lana album, it's just like he's figured out that like chill is like the new thing. And I feel like he's just doing it with everyone. And it's annoying me. So that's my piece.
And I'm like, I'm a Jack Antonoff defender. Like, I mean, he did do Melodrama and he did Norman fucking Rockwell and
great album.
Reputation, which I'm a
your reputation apologist.
I'm kind of a reputation apologist.
Go off.
And you know what? I'm not even going to qualify that. I was just like such a Taylor Swift hater for the majority of my life that maybe it was by chance, but that was the first album I even gave a chance, and then I was like, okay, like I get it. What was I going to say? Yeah, I think it's like he's like not trying anymore.
I think I know what you mean, but I feel like this is more interesting than like a Lana or a Taylor. Like, I think it's like making some weird choices. George and I talked about like,
I agree that it's intentional. I agree that it's not like, oh no, she flopped. Like, I do think it's intentional what she's doing.
Yeah, we talked on our podcast about a concept that is called wink, which is when like sort of you do something that is stupid on purpose to make your outfit be like to like show that you're like sort of winking at people and being like, yeah, I know I'm stupid. I'm like playing with the concept of being stupid. And I feel like that we talked about this album having a lot of wink in it, where it's like, this is purposefully lame and stupid to like subvert how like her cool image and be like, no, I'm going to wear something dumb and see if I can pull it off.
The New York Times review that came out today by, I can't remember what her name is, but this music critic that's good calls Lord's work in general like part incisive commentary, part self-own or something like that. There's a phrase where it's like all of it is like, yes, she's commenting on like, I don't know, wellness culture or whatever she's doing in that one song, but then she's also like dragging herself for like acknowledging her own complicity or something. Thoughts?
I was trying to look up the name of that New York Times.
It's like Lindsay Zolads.
Lindsay Zolads is great. I was going to try and do a bit where I said it was that lady who got fired for writing all the op-eds.
Barry Weiss.
That was
she actually quit on her own.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the
she canceled herself.
She canceled herself because she wanted so badly to be canceled.
Yeah. And now actually Jack Antonoff is working with her on her Substack.
But it's still her vision.
Yeah, but it's still her vision.
It's still hers.
I had one. Oh yeah, I wanted. So the reviews were pretty. They were mixed. There were some good ones, but here were some of the hard hitting ones. I compiled some headlines.
Okay, we're gonna respond to the haters.
Esquire said, "Lord's poetic lyrics get lost in murky music." Murky music.
You see the Washington Post one?
Which I did.
Was, what did that yes. one say?
That one's hard. Like,
Taliban takes over Lord.
Lord joins the Taliban.
Lord joins the Taliban with new album.
So that was, yeah, Lord returns with solar power, but it's mostly just wind.
That's a oh, no. Oh, God.
And that's Bezos a wrote that.
I think, okay, here's what I think the issue with this album is. Ready?
Uh-oh.
Yes. I think it's the rollout and the grandness of the rollout and how this is supposed to be like the third coming of Lord, the biggest Lord ever. Like, I think if like the song Solar Power had dropped when it did, and then the next week the whole album came out and it was just like, and here it is, like, it would be like, oh, well, now I can just consume this as an album. But because we're supposed to see it as like the greatest, like most like intelligent piece of art commenting and embracing spirituality, like, it's like it doesn't succeed at being that big. It's
yeah,
I think the overarching like thing people feel, myself included, is confusion. Like, I really think, and I don't even know, I do, there are certain songs I like and certain ones I don't, and I don't think it's like a failure, but like the general tone of people interpreting it was kind of like, what's going on here? Like, what am I missing?
Oh yeah, Pitchfork called it drab music. They said yeah. that was one of the things they said. AV Club said Solar Power's evidence Jack Antonoff should be dethroned as the pop producer of choice. And
I'm
Consequence
crying.
Said with Solar Power, Lord flies a little too close to the sun.
Okay, damn. That one I love. That's edgy and that's smart. Whoever wrote that was genius. One.
Oh, AV Club said Lord disappears into the sun on Solar Power. Damn.
Ruh-roh.
There was the Pitchfork one was literally like, she doesn't address climate change.
That one really annoyed me. I hate hated the Pitchfork review, and because I was like I said, Tommy did spoil this album for me, and so by reading his being like, I fucked up by putting all my mental health on the, what was it? It was something like
that. Yeah. What I said, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, it must be bad. And then we listened to it driving to the beach, and I was like, this is fine. Like, I didn't hate it. But then I listened to it today while I was reading that Pitchfork review, and I was just boiling because I was like, we don't need it to do that. Like, it doesn't need, I know that it's called Solar Power, but it's like, come on, it can be just a chill. Like, there's no song on it that I was like, oh, I can't wait to listen to that again. But I also, yeah. I never minded it. Like, it was never yeah. irritating or grating to me. I found it to be just pleasant. It had like, yeah, it just felt like a beach listen. I just wasn't, yeah, yeah. I was,
which
not
is why it should have maybe been released like in June.
Yeah, totally,
it's true. It does not make sense for right now.
Back to school with Lord.
I mean, I do agree with albums. Lyrics, like good lyrics, getting lost in kind of middling music. Because if you were to do another pass, I'm not saying this is the correct thing to do, but like literally, if you were to just do another pass and like make it more upbeat, it would be a hit. Like, mm-hmm. it, because the concept is there, the lyrics are there. I think the era is like well defined. She's like half cult leader, half like beach bum stoner or whatever. Like, she's wearing yellow, she's wearing crop tops, and I think the lyrics are good. People are, so I do think, which is why I also think it's such an intentional choice where she's like trying to be anti-pop or something.
Yeah,
and it does work to an extent. I like Stoned at the Nail Salon.
I think Stoned at the Nail Salon is a damn smash.
It's a smash. I would say that's like genuinely like up there as a great Lord song.
Yeah,
I think we should listen to some of that to give the people a little mm-hmm. taste. Here's Stoned at the Nail Salon.
Got a wishbone drying on the windowsill in my kitchen, just in case I wake up and realize I've chosen wrong. I love this life that I have, the vine hanging over the door, and the dog who comes when I call. But I wonder sometimes what I'm missing. Well, my heart, blood's been burning for so many summers now. It's time to cool it down. us. 'Cause all the beautiful girls, they will fade like the roses. And all the times they will change, it'll all come around. I don't know. Maybe I'm the stone that the nails
are lost.
We got there.
We made it.
It is a Lana Del Rey song, though. That's a Lana Del Rey song.
You know what? That is true.
Oh, like,
it's 100% Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, that's it's ultimately true.
Oh my God.
I would say it's Lorde's take on a Lana song. In the same way that other song is Taylor Swift's take on a Lana song, the Kennedy one.
Oh yes, yeah.
I think there was a tweet I saw that was like, and Tommy, I am going to lump you in with this, but it was like, gays only know Lana and Casey. And so whenever anyone plays a guitar, they're like, this is Lana. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's a little in that style, but it's still like more Lordy, like the lyrics and stuff.
And
but even the title Stone That the Nail Salon is
the title is very her.
It's like reminiscent. What am I thinking of? There's like,
she had High by the Beach.
High by the Beach, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Which could be the title of Solar Power.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay.
And Lorde,
okay, something Lana owns weed and stuff.
Although I do think the lyrics are more Lorde. Like the lyrics are very Lorde, other than the actual phrase Stoned at the Nail Salon. Mm-hmm. And I think I was kind of convinced by in the New York Times review, they were talking about how like it's a cohesive album and it makes sense in order. And like the first song, The Path, is about, it kind of like sets the stage as like, okay, I've gone to the Met Gala and I'm a millionaire and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And now it's time for me to relax. And like, you think I have the answers, but I don't and whatever. And then the rest of it is kind of like, all of it is kind of Stoned at the Nail Salon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's right. The first lyric, she says, born in the year of OxyContin. And we kind of love the Sacklers on this show. So I don't know if she's like throwing shade at them.
Yeah, that was a no for me.
Pharma. We think they're good.
Yeah, Big Pharma is amazing. They do great work. And
but like, except for the vaccine. I don't take it.
Not strong enough.
Do the crate challenge.
Yeah, do the crate challenge instead of the vaccine.
It's one or the other, brother.
The Path is a song I ended up liking that I didn't like the first time I listened to it. Can we play a little of that, Tom? But will you start at like 140? Because it's just a song that takes a while to get going. Like I think a lot of this album is kind of slow burn.
Yes. Here's The Path.
Food.
Yeah, that's a smash.
I like it a lot.
That's a damn hit. I love it. Okay. I always get annoyed when pop stars are like, get on their like phones are bad era. I like to make fun of that as a premise a lot. And like Katy Perry did that with like Chain to the Rhythm. Like it was sort of like,
that was a dark era.
Thought
for sure.
About like the fact that phones are bad, and it's like
she also could not decide on a metaphor for that song. She was like, "Is it good or bad that I'm in chains? I haven't decided."
And she was like, "Well, I look incredible, and I'm
like, am I
fun.
Talking about slavery or like a like the blockchain? Like she just couldn't lock down what it was about."
But I feel like Lorde is doing it better. Like Lorde is doing it in a way that doesn't make me want to make fun of her. I feel like because it's not just phones are bad. It's more like I'm trying to connect with nature and like unpack these things that I disregarded before.
I did see a tweet that was like, the main issue is no one cares about someone living in New Zealand. And I do think that there is an element of that where I'm like, yeah, all that's fine, but like I live in Brooklyn.
Right.
Like I'm not going to connect to nature currently.
I also get a couple things. One, did you read Claire in the Sun?
No.
Okay, well, the past.
But I know the premise. It's a robot who feels.
Yeah, but you know, the sun is like a religious thing in that book for the robot because she's solar powered.
I am just shocked because we're literally in a group chat where it was posited that we should do a book club about Claire and the Sun. And then apparently at some point I was no longer part of that narrative. And you read it. Uh-oh.
No, I just read it. I just was like, oh, I'll just read that book then.
Oh, you just read it on your own.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
did you like it?
I did like it, but it felt, it was truly like, wait, did Lord literally read this book? Like,
yeah,
like she said in an interview that she also read like How to Do Nothing, which.
Oh, wait, yeah. She did? That's funny because Catherine texted me as a joke, Lord read How to Do Nothing. That's
really funny. And you can tell that's like kind of what she's working with.
Yeah. Well, she literally, she also like mentions in an interview, she's like, I read an essay by Gia Tolentinar.
Yes.
About optimization. she's reading the pieces.
She's reading the pieces.
She
and
has
she's
an alt
music.
On Twitter.
She's, you know, she's a honest. Little online.
She does the onion ring thing. She does.
Yeah. She did the crate challenge.
Wait, what's the onion ring thing?
Oh,
wait, I don't know it either.
Hot ones. And she was, I got to tell you, I watched some of her hot ones and it was very impressive.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. Yeah.
She handles the wings better than anybody I've ever seen do it on that show, and better than the host even. It's really crazy. She just seems unfazed.
Oh wow,
it's delicious. What was the onion ring thing?
Oh, she had like she had like a burner Instagram account where she was just literally rating every onion ring she ate, like on a 1 to 5 scale, and people figured it out because the only people who followed it were like Lord and people who tour with Lord
and like Jack Antonoff.
Yes. And so then she ended up saying on the Tonight Show that she is the one who did it.
Wow. But then she took it down, I think, because she like wanted it to be secret and fun, and then it was like ruined once it was getting attention.
Why did she follow it?
Yeah, big mistake.
Burner rule 101.
That's true.
And that's, it's also point. I guess it was secret, but the fact that she didn't call it Lord of the Rings is fully insane to me.
Fuck.
Tommy, will you read that shirt?
Yes, that's going to segue into. So when I was trying to find it, I searched the phrase Lord of the Rings because that's what I thought it was in my head. And I found the craziest shirt I've ever seen on Pinterest. And Sam, I think you saw this. George, I don't think you did.
Oh, I smashed that like. I was gonna respond, but then I was gonna say,
is it on Twitter?
Like, wait, don't look it up because I want to see if you can guess. So it's a Royals parody, and it's about Lord of the Rings. I want to see if you can guess what the line going into the chorus is. What do you think the "and we'll never be royals" is in the Lord of the Rings parody?
I'm going to go ahead and give you a hint that I do not think this is predictable.
Thanks for the hint. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just read it in order and we'll see if you can stop me at any point if you think you know where it's going. All right. So it's like, but every day is like gold ring, gray beard, tripping on some mushrooms, mad white wizard, trashing the king's throne room. We don't care. We'll get to Rivendell across the stream. And everybody's like, Uruk Hall, dwarf mines, presents from an elf queen, rowboats, spiders, Gollum on a rope leash. We don't care. Just simply gonna walk there.
Okay, well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to guess that.
But no. I was setting you up. I haven't said the last part.
Oh, that, and the last part is like, and we'll never be royals.
Yes.
So then what would that line be?
After just simply gonna walk there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is it like Legolas something?
No. It's because we're going to Mordor.
The worst ending, because I was into it. And then I got to the Mordor part. I was pissed. Mordor doesn't sound like royals enough.
Yeah.
It's on a shirt and it's a long sleeve. It's like a baseball tee. It's like, what human being would ever wear that? And it doesn't say like Lord. Doesn't say Lord anywhere on it, or Lord of the Rings either. Like, it doesn't identify itself.
I also don't like that it says tripping on some mushroom.
I didn't like that.
I don't
that
remember
either.
When they do mushrooms in Lord of the Rings.
They smoke weed though.
Yeah. They smoke weed, but they don't, there's no mushroom tripping.
Oh, okay. Before we move on, I also wrote a little quiz based on this. So okay, you guys have to guess if what I'm saying is either a Lord lyric or a Lord of the Rings quote. Okay, number one, I will be your tour guide today. Your emotional baggage can be picked up at carousel number two.
Okay, I'm going to say that's actually a Robin
lyric
during a Lord song.
Actually, Robin.
See, that was the twist, and I didn't mean to do that, but good job. Okay, number two. And my axe.
That's Lord of the Rings.
Yes, you got it. Number three. Yes. Number three. A wizard is never late.
Damn, you want to take this one?
I'm going to go Lord of the Rings.
Okay, that's good. Okay, you guys are three for three. There's two more. Number four. You can burn sage and I'll cleanse the crystals. We can get high, but only if the wind blows.
That is Lord.
So that one I thought might trip you guys up because they do get high as hell in Lord of the Rings.
The fact that it rhymes like that, like it's so sing-songy.
Yeah, you also helping. you put the musicality. Yeah, in, as you said. It.
Okay, finally number five, my precious. It's a half-baked bit, and it kind of went great.
I disagree. In fact, I'm going to edit out you saying that because I want you to have the confidence in you. You know what? Don't talk to my friend Tommy like that.
Okay.
great bit, and I do think we should get to. We have a segment that we haven't gotten to yet. I didn't tell you we had this, Tommy, but I was surprised because I didn't even ask him because I assumed he wouldn't have listened to this yet. But we do have our regular segment. They went to Jared. Jared, our friend and foe of the show, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, and where the Limestone Comedy Festival will be happening September 2nd through the 4th, which is, I believe, next week. So if you're in the Indiana area, get out to that. But Jared gives us our thoughts on what we talk about. He's our resident snob, and he had thoughts on the new Lord album, which, like I said, I was surprised by. I'm very curious what he's going to say.
Me too.
So here we go.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's Went to Jared. The boys are going to have two guests on defending or, I guess, discussing the new Lord album, because I would assume that this is considered good. I just listened to it. And so first thing that jumps out at me is that, of course, it's not really for me, and that's okay. I mean, I probably like a lot of music that wasn't necessarily made with me in mind. And I will say that, like, for a modern sort of like non-rock and roll album, so like pop music or however you want to say it, it's definitely way more interesting. It could be a lot less interesting, if that makes sense. Like, it, you know, I try to stay somewhat involved in new music, mostly like rock and roll bands, but I do hear from time to time stuff that would be sort of like in this wheelhouse, and this is definitely more interesting. It's, you know, I don't know that I would personally listen to it, but I also don't really know who she is. Like, I just realized now that I only know her song Royals because of the Weird Al cover, that the parody that he does. I didn't even necessarily know what the parody was of until just now when I listened to it. So for sure, this is like, you could do a lot worse if this is the type of music that you listen to. So anyway, we'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
I did not know Weird Al did Royals.
Not either.
I did not know that either.
It is.
It did, but I can't remember what the word is.
Should we guess?
It's not. Yeah. It's not something you would guess, I don't think.
Oh, you looked it up, Artie?
Yeah.
I do. I think I do remember it being kind of random. I mean, I'm not going to guess it, but I have heard.
If it was, it's like it's in the kitchen. In the kitchen is my hint.
Oh, right. Yes.
Oh, yeah, it sounded like you almost said it there. It is. Yeah, it's not what I thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, I looked it up, so we don't have to.
I see.
Sam, in the kitchen. In the kitchen.
You're.
There's no S at the end.
I mean, the thing is, when you say it, you're like, oh, I guess it does sound like royal.
Yeah, it does sound like it.
It's not just foil?
It is foil. You got it.
Okay, cool.
I would not have gotten that.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
It just rhymes. It rhymes exactly. So I was like, well, foil.
Yes.
I would not have thought that, like, it took me a few times of being like, foil, to understand that it rhymes. Wow.
Yeah, some brains just work different.
Yeah. I love that you almost didn't. You're like, it's not just foil. like as though that's the most obvious choice.
Well, everyone was saying it was really difficult. And I was it must not rhyme. Like, it must be like more of a slant.
Sure.
Like, I was going to go like utensil because I was like, it can't be foil because that rhymes.
That's too easy.
Yeah.
Should we hear a couple more songs before we get to the old peanut gallery?
We got to put on. I don't know how this works really. But I'm like, if I'm defending Lord, if that's my goal here, I do think we have to slap on Mood Ring because it's a damn smash.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and hear some Mood Ring. Is there a specific part? I just listened to it for the first time right before starting, but I don't remember the times. But I enjoy this one.
This one's a little more upbeat.
Throw it on and we'll see. Others. Let's hear some Mood Ring.
But inside, can't seem to fix my mood. Today it's as dark as my roots. If I ever let them grow out, now all of my oceans have ripped tides. Can't seem to find what's wrong. The whole world is letting me down. Don't you think the early 2000s seem so far away? Hey, 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 hey. Ladies, begin your sun salutations. Transcendental in your meditations. Oh,
all right.
Hell yeah. I like that song a lot.
Come on.
Nice traditional song structure. You get a bridge, you get a chorus, it repeats.
And it's so meta because it's a very early 2000s sound. And then she talks about the early 2000s in it.
Also, this one, when people were like, it's like, yeah, she's clearly joking. I there was like a mini debate about whether she was just stupid. And it's like, no, she's not stupid. She's obviously like playing a character. I do think it could have been even more pronounced. And some of the lyrics, like, my mood is as dark as my roots, is like maybe an all-time bad Lord lyric.
Yes.
but like she pulls it off.
Yeah.
But if she ever lets them grow out too.
Yeah. That's like, to open with that is rough, I have to say, because there are better lyrics later on. And like, I do ultimately like the song a lot. It's probably either my favorite or my second favorite in the album, but that one's, it's tough.
Yeah, that is tough.
But see, now I'm not meeting her where she's at. Like, I'm not like listening to this album on her terms. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
I mean, like, it's like I'm trying to be critical when it's you have to be stoned at the nail salon.
Right.
I think that's like the main problem for me too, is that this whole album is weed in California and I'm very much drinking in New York. Coke and Sing Sing prison.
I think let's cut the shit, Tommy. We all know what happened. Lord turned into her 20s. And now you're not a fan.
Oh, shut up.
Wow. Uh-oh.
We all know what's happening here.
I'm like, wait, what's that guy's name? The Jeff Ross jumped out? Is that...
Whoa. Oh, God. Tommy is trying to be the roast.
Tommy was that guy that had the time, the clock about the Olsen twins countdown. 18 or whatever. Yeah. Countdown, yes.
It was actually really easy to design. That's what I
learned. Well, that's how you learn to code.
And he had it, but he was actually ahead of the game because he was doing it for when they turned 15, which
it was creeps who code. I still he lived like in a different camp.
Oh man. Yeah, now that we've gotten to the bottom of it, we can move on. But no, I really enjoy that song. It is very fun. And one of the it might have been in the Pitchfork review where they were saying like this song isn't funny enough to do what she's trying to do, but I enjoy it. And I don't think Pitchfork is that goddamn funny. So.
I don't think Pitchfork's that funny.
Yeah, no, that was not that Pitchfork review. I would give a 2.7.
Let's go. That should be a website. Reviews of Pitchfork.
I bet you.
I think
it was.
I think it was a Tumblr back in the 2008 era.
I'd say we move that bad boy up to a .com. I
think. Wow, 2008. The late 2000s seems so far away.
It is the thing though, where Pitchfork, like, they gave it a 6.8, which is not a pan at all. And it's like
pretty good.
They always do that. They do that the other way too, where they'll write like this album is like transcends everything about music, right. And then it's also a 6.8, and it's like, does 6.8 mean?
I mean, the real tea is that ultimately, is it exactly a 6.8?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%. Yes.
They nailed it. They just went too hard.
Yeah.
And if I can complain one more, because I've been very positive, I've been defending, but I want to let the listeners know that I'm actually unbiased, surprisingly. I disagree with the aesthetic. I don't love the music video specifically. I think the cover art is amazing, of course, and the font is cool and go off. But like, I think the like cult thing like doesn't match like half the songs. Like,
yeah.
Like the mood ring thing, it's like she's playing with, you know, cheesy 2000s music, and like then she looks gorgeous and like anthropology and like it's like it just doesn't match the sound, and it kind of drives me bonkers because it was like an opportunity for her to be like, you know, in low-rise jeans and like carrying a Diet Coke and,
oh my
like,
god, that is so true.
It would be amazing.
I'll say this, and Tommy, you mentioned Nine Perfect Strangers. I think like people think it's easier than it actually is to satirize like wellness and cults and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like we've done it too much and everyone thinks they have commentary on it. And it's like, what more is there to say really? Unless you have like a really pointed critique or something. Like, yeah, the cult, like satirizing cults and satirizing the wellness industry, to me, like there needs to be a little more. If you're going to do it, there needs to be a little more rigor is what I'm saying.
You need Nicole Kidman doing a Russian accent. And
but no, that's a flop too.
God, I can't handle it. I that's one of the few shows that I've watched recently where I was like, I just am not going to finish it.
It is so bad. I've watched 3 episodes.
Yes, I've also watched 3 of them, and I will watch every single one.
I think I will too, unfortunately. It's really bad.
Yes. I watched 1.5, and like maybe a halfway through the second one, I was like, I just don't need to do this. I'll just watch. I might watch Friday Night Lights again. But yeah, I need to watch. I gotta watch. What's that cop show? The Wire. I gotta watch The Wire.
Oh yeah, My old roommate Zach was rewatching that.
I got too much good shit to watch.
I've been zooming through. I'm almost done with the whole series. And Light, that is a great fucking show. Right,
I gotta watch that. You're raving about it. And
what are you watching, Tommy?
Enlightened, and it's so good.
Oh yeah, Enlightened's great. I should rewatch Enlightened.
I want to watch it.
And it's a great satire of like wellness culture. Honestly, yeah. It's like what these things aren't.
IMO.
And she wears a yellow dress.
There are very good satires of wellness culture from like. Safe, the movie with Julianne Moore, is like an incredible satire of wellness culture. Like people have been trying to comment on things like that since like the 60s. It's not anything new. So you better bring your A game, Nicole.
All right. Let's hear two more songs and then we'll get to the old comment section. I liked the song. I liked the song "The Man with the Axe." What do you guys think of that one?
Oh yeah,
it's about the Dexter series finale, right? We're talking about TV here on Stand By Your Band.
that's another show that I loved for four seasons.
Oh yeah,
I got halfway through the fifth season, I just stopped watching.
Well, they're rebooting.
Colin Hanks. Yeah, I saw that.
I know. Yeah,
it got so bad. Like it was like. Comedically bad, kind of.
So many people told me that I was like, okay, I'm glad I didn't finish it then. But I still have the like completionist thing where it's like I do kind of want to finish it, but I just I was finding myself to be so bored in the fifth season that I was like, this is a show about a fucking serial killer. Why am I falling asleep? Like it's insane. All right, let's hear "The Man with the Axe," which is about Tommy wearing Axe body spray. All right, here it is.
I
had to
break it down. I wear bod.
Talk about early 2000s reference.
Look, you're either a bod man or you're an Axe. And my back is turned. I'm going to skip over right here. A flick of the light, paintings and frames, and a throat that fills with panic every festival day. Dude, if we fall in a pot for the princess of Norway. But you toe slashes your infinite t-shirts. I should have known when your favorite record was the same as my father's. You take me down. I guess I'll always be this way. Swallowed up by the words and halfway to space. There by the fire, you offered your hand, and as I took it, I loved you, the boy with the plan. Very sleepy.
This is a classic example of a song that could have used one more pass to make it a little more punchy.
Get a little drum beat going in there.
Yeah.
It's an active rejection.
It is. And the thing is, I do agree with, like, you're catching me at probably the lowest I felt about this album, just by chance. Like, that's just where I'm at today. But I was, like, supporting it for, like, a full 5 days.
No, I'm all in. I was listening to it in my backyard last night with a couple of beers.
Yes.
My brother was over and I said, damn, this album's hitting me right.
I'm having a glass of wine right now. It's hitting me, baby. I'm into it. I find that one for some reason, I know that it's gotten a lot of this album. People don't like it specifically musically. Like the one of the reviews I read was like the lyrics are still pretty good overall, but they mostly just look good because the music is bad. And I enjoy it. It's like, it's very relaxed. It reminds me of another, There's like another band that it's reminding me of, and I can't pull it, so I'm gonna listen to it again. And I was,
if you say Lana Del Rey,
oh, Lana. No, it's actually it's Casey Musgraves. I'm getting Casey vibes.
I also didn't like her new single, but that's for a different episode.
Oh, yeah. I actually liked it.
Y'all ain't ready for that.
I think I need to hear the whole album. It seems like it's part of.
But she's abandoned country. It seems
Casey mm-hmm. Musgraves.
Yeah, yeah. The new single is not country.
Damn. She was already like, I feel like she was already kind of borderline, but
yeah.
I'm curious. I like Casey Musgraves a lot. Have we done a Casey Musgraves episode?
No, I think people she's, like her. Yeah, too up. Liked. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be an interesting, maybe when that album comes out, we can do a discussion of it. But
Stradio Lab returns.
Hey, I'm down. I'll talk about Casey any day.
I love Casey.
I love her.
We'll talk about staying at the nail salon.
Let's hear one more song. I'll let you guys choose. What do you think here,
George? You got one? I feel like I've already shoved some.
Well, I mean, not to be obvious, but what were the? I mean, should we listen to like the main title track?
Yeah, we should. That's a
good point. Yeah,
give everyone the complete picture.
Yes. Let's hear the. The titular solar power. All right.
Here we go. I hate the winter.
Icon.
To cancel all the plans. When the heat comes, something takes a hold. Can I kick it? Yeah, I can. My cheeks in hot color, overripe peaches. No shirt, no shoes, only my features. My boy behind me, he's taking pictures. Boys and girls onto the beaches. Come on, come on, tell you my secrets. I'm kinda like a prettier Jesus. Forget all of the tears that you've cried. It's over.
Yeah, that's solar power, all right.
And if she wanted us to hear the chorus, she would have put one there, you know. She didn't have to do another verse.
No, I love I'm like, sometimes I can't tell if I like the music or if my mental health is bad. But
Sam is a stan. Like, Sam is a classic fan. I think you actually enjoy the challenge of defending everything about something.
That is such an accusation.
No, I think when I heard this song, and maybe it was just the way it, like when it came out like, you know, beginning of summer, we were feeling like vaccine vibes, like sort of that hopefulness. And I really was just like, hell yes, I hate the winter. I'm fucking done. Let's go to the damn beach. I'm trying to have the best summer of my life. And it really hit me right.
I remember like when it came out, I was not really, it took me a while to like, to be honest, it's still not my favorite song on the album, but whatever. I was like struggling with it. And then my friend texted me and she's like, oh my God, I love the song. I was like, really? I don't know. Like, I don't get it. She's like, well, it's about the end of the world. And I was like, I thought it was about summer. And she's like, yeah, well, it's also about that. But then that I just it hadn't occurred to me that that was even part of it, which is so obvious that like, I think part of the song is that it like is both has like an air of pessimism about the world ending and an air of optimism about like, well, while it's ending, we might as well be stoned at the nail salon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. She throws her cellular device in the water.
But again, yes. I like imagine that song if at the end it was a real release.
Right.
But again, she's not doing it on purpose. I don't get her. I remember listening to her for the first time and being like, wait, there's not one more thing that's gonna happen.
You know, the do 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 do. Like, come on, it all builds. The blink three times and you feel it kicking in. Come on. I'm like, okay, I feel it.
You're forcing those blinks.
Yeah.
I think maybe I need to go to therapy, but it moved me.
This is the song that I was surprised I didn't enjoy, because I liked the opening song because like I said, we were listening to it in the car on the way to the beach, and I was like, I'm enjoying this a lot. Like, maybe I'll like this album. I'm liking the vibe. And then this song came on, and there's a lot of it that just irritates me. I hate the "my boy behind me, he's taking pictures" part. Not into it.
He's taking pictures.
And then, you know what? This is a really stupid and petty thing to not like about this song, but I hate that she puts Peaches in there. It's like, we already have a banger from this summer with Peaches. You know, Bieber already took Peaches. And don't even put them in your song, honey.
Call Me By Your Name took Peaches years ago.
Yeah, I don't know about Bieber.
I'm just saying that song, it's on all the fucking time, and I'm tired of hearing about Peaches this sure. year.
Peaches are kind done. Of a cop-out.
Every year, somebody gets to claim Peaches. Most years, people have deferred, and now this year, two people have tried to do it. Nuh-uh. Right.
What Get happened out. To Grapes?
Yeah, where's the grape anthem?
What about a beautiful beach snack?
Frozen grapes? Oh my god! Get
so refreshing.
Here.
Yeah, I think next year grapes are having a big year. I think people have realized what they've left on the table.
Billie Eilish is going to put out a song.
Oh, you guys should do an episode on that album.
I haven't even listened to it yet.
I had heard like that it wasn't good, and then I actually tried listening to it, and I was like, wait a minute. I love Billie Eilish.
Really? Yeah. I tried listening to it. I really didn't connect with me, but I would give it another shot.
It's more that I had just forgotten that she was good. Like, I now just think of her as like a public figure, and I'd forgotten that her music is good. She actually is like a great musician.
I always think about just Dave Grohl being like, she's the new Nirvana. And it just made me, for some reason, because I hated him saying that so much, that it made me dislike her by association, even though I never listened to her.
I think I watched like one, you know, New York Times, the making of a song or whatever with her. And it like fully ruined her for me, because she's like a child talker. And she's like extremely confident. And it's like, I understand that you have to be that way, but it's sort of like, have a little humility of like, I'm learning as I do this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she was homeschooled.
And can we talk about that?
That's it all. We have one more segment to get to before we get to the end here. This is where we go to the peanut gallery. We go to the listeners of the show and see what their thoughts are on this album. And first off, we go to the Patreon, where if you pay $3 a month, you get bonus episodes every week and you get your comments guaranteed to be read. First off, we have Matthew Potter, who says, I would put it between her past two. I like Pure Heroine more than Melodrama. I think there's more lines that I'll connect with as I listen to it more. But as of now, its overall vibe is being really sad, but also on the beach. Interesting.
Summertime sadness, Lana.
Thank you.
Cuck Norris says, my Melodrama is a masterpiece. In 2017, I don't know why an album written by a then 18-19-year-old girl from New Zealand resonated so much with a then 25-year-old man from the UK, but it's a testament to the quality of her lyricism and musicianship that it does.
Thank you, Cuck.
Randy Ramos says, an album that has the production style of a Ja Rule or early Timberlake song, acoustic guitars high up in the mix, and some simply mixed drums. I don't mean any of that as a knock. It felt nostalgic at points. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And friend of the show, John Bilancini says, good Catholic boy Tommy should be talking about the Lord. we almost made it an entire episode without making a Lord God joke, but I'm glad that it was saved for our friend John Bilancini. All right. Did we get anything on Twitter?
There's two on Twitter. Corm on the Cob says, a lot of the tracks feel like middle of the road folklore to me. Antonov production is getting so monotonous. Still think Melodrama is one of the best pop albums. I'm a little disappointed by this. I agree. And Tim Claridge said, the initial drum sound on the opening song made me think they somehow accidentally uploaded the demo track. So there's some shade.
Wow.
Jeremy Levenbach, this is on the Facebook, says, not super into Lorde's music, but loved her on Hot Ones. Seems like an interesting and thoughtful artist. Fair enough. I recommend checking that out.
I recommend to Jeremy, book me. That's what I recommend to him.
Jeremy, book Tommy.
Wow, I love how desperate your vibe is.
We've been looking for someone with a desperate vibe.
Hey, Jeremy, you know that desperate vibe you were looking for?
We found it, baby.
I know just the guy.
Oh, he's on his hands and knees. He's begging.
Derek Humphrey says, how many tracks are about tennis? And then he says, that is just what I remember sticking out from the stuff I have heard of hers. It's about
tennis courts.
Yeah. I dig her vibe, though. Mandy Lynn McKean says, I love Pure Heroin and haven't gotten all the way through this one, but I'm digging it so far. Big fan of hers in general. Jeffrey McDonald says, you mean her new album? Because you can see,
you can see her ass.
On the cover. And then he says, get it. And he says, I'll see myself out. Let's see here.
Brian toxic Babylon. Masculinity is alive and well.
yes. Check. Brian Babylon says, what is a Lorde? And then he put I don't know, Google it, like a gif here, you old ass Babylon. Are you not gonna know who Lorde is?
Wait, don't tell him. That's what I said.
Sounds like somebody threw their phone in the water.
Last one here, Casey Raven says, she's scary and adorable at the same time. I think that's a great way to put it. And that brings us to the final part of the show, which is where you guys get to give your last thoughts on this new Lorde album. What do you got?
George, you go first.
Yeah, George, you want to go first? I feel like because of your thoughts on it, it'll be better if Sam gives his last.
I think Sam should close with an ode to the album. I didn't mean that as a bad thing. I just want to say, like, regardless of my feelings about anything, everything else aside, like, I love Lorde, and I was talking about this with my friend, the one that said that Solar Power is about the world ending. Like, it is exciting to me that we have many more decades of, like, seeing what she produces, and I'm excited for her next album. I think she's someone who will have, like, I think she'll have a really interesting kind of like mid-career period. I'm excited for her to be like 45 and be like, you know, Fiona Apple releasing like a different, you know, every album being a different vibe and like experimenting musically and working with different people. So I think this album is very conceptually tight, and I think she succeeded in doing what she set out to do. And it's not like my favorite thing ever, but I respect it. And I think it's like, this is her Solar Power era, and I'm excited to see what the next era brings.
I think I mostly agree with that. I think this is great. I love a big swing. I think she mostly nails it. I think it's cool that she's very purposefully like following what she wants to do and not necessarily what she should do career wise. And I think it's like for some people, not for me, a rocky transitional phase, but I like that. I like seeing people shift and change and see how it is complicated for them. And so I think it's a damn smash, and it's only going to be an even more important relic as her career moves forward.
Well said. Beautiful. I think you guys did a great job. I think the mistake I made is when I heard the singles, I was hoping it was going to be like, when I heard the singles for You Brought Up Reputation, I like kind of didn't like them. Then I ended up loving that album, and I was just hoping that's what would happen here. And they would but it ended up just being like, oh, it is like a concept album, and mm-hmm. the singles are very much indicative of what the album is. And I think if I had just thought about that going in, I wouldn't have felt disappointed, because when I listened to it again today a couple times, I was like, oh, I actually do kind of like this now that I'm not expecting melodrama again. I still think it'll never be up there with that album for me, but I appreciate it more. And I think you hit it on the head when it was like, it is a 6.8, and 6.8 is not bad. So
yeah,
that's what I'll say.
6.8 out of 10 ain't bad. And yeah, I am enjoying it. I'm probably not. I might listen to a couple of the songs again. It's not one that I'm going to like really sit with. But then again, I'm not the right audience here. I've only listened to the Lord radio singles. So what the fuck do I know? But I enjoyed it. And I think you guys made great points today. And I'm so, so grateful to have you. Thanks so much for coming on. And I
thanks
hope
for having us
over sooner rather than later. Do we have a return date? Did you say that?
Probably in the fall.
We haven't announced it yet. And I don't know if we can make the exclusive announcement yet.
So you promised us
give that exclusive announcement.
Any like shows you guys want to promote or anything?
Well, after this, I'll be performing in where is it? Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, tonight?
Yeah. So come on over.
George is doing my show, Stevie, on what day is that? September 9th.
September 9th, I believe.
At the Bell House.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Bell
House. And I
honestly, I do have upcoming shows. Do I know what they are? No. But go to my, honestly, not even my website, because I don't update that either. You know what? Google me.
It's probably not going to show up on Google.
It's not going to show up on Google. Go to my social media.
Mm-hmm. See the Instagram stories that are shared.
See the
day.
Instagram stories. I'll repost them. They'll disappear after 24 hours. You better write it down.
Yeah, get your notepad out. Go to the Instagram stories. I will be. I'll let you go last, Tom, since you're the king. And I will be in Boston September 9th. I'm doing one show, Hideout Comedy at the White Bull. That show's always a lot of fun. And September 14th in Chicago, I will be headlining Zanies, and I would love to see people there.
Ooh,
for that.
Nice. Hell yeah. Go see Tommy there. And hey, go see him in Boston. I heard my friend Augustana is going to move there.
Well, they think they're going.
Oh, they're thinking about it. Yeah. I have Good God September 12th. And also, most importantly, we're going to be doing a live Stand By Your Band in Boise, Idaho.
Yes, I forgot about that.
It's part of the Sturgis Rally. It's part of the Treefort Comedy. It's a music
festival. Yeah.
Yes. I'll also be doing sets there. We're going to be doing stand-up there too, but we'll be doing a live Stand By Your Band with some of the comics who are at that festival, and you just never know who's going to pop by.
I'm excited because Japanese Breakfast is going to be there.
Yes. It's going to be cool as hell. So get over there, and I know I've got some other stuff. Whatever. I'll just follow me on social media. You'll see it. All right. That'll do it for this episode. Thanks so much, George and Sam. You guys are the best. And we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Keep it crispy. Bye.